Acts chapter 7, verse 30. We're jumping in the middle of a message that Stephen is preaching. Of course, this is after Pentecost, and there's some folks that are confused, and he is going back in the history of Israel and reminding these people or showing these people that the death of Christ was not a surprise or an accident, but in actuality was what the Old Testament had always pointed to. In verse 30, he's dealing with some things about Israel. It says, "And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him, Moses, in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, an angel of the Lord in the flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight as he drew near to behold it. The voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt, this Moses whom they refuse, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount of Sinai and with our fathers, who received the living oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt." It's on my heart to look in verse 38, where Stephen talks about the wilderness experience with the people of Israel. And he says something very interesting in that verse. Not that the other verses are not interesting, but in verse 38 he says, "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness." He called that assembly in the Old Testament the church. Now certainly it's different than the New Testament church. It's different than what happened at Pentecost. But he says there was a church in the wilderness. It literally means an assembly. It has the idea of being called out, of joining together. And he said in that Old Testament setting, they had a church, they had an assembly, they had a group that met. And we know especially that tabernacle was that building that God instructed Moses to build. And that tabernacle was set up in the middle of their camp as they traveled through the wilderness. The tabernacle always led them, really the ark that was within the tabernacle. And when they stopped to camp, the tabernacle was always in the center. So I want to mention this morning, I want to talk not about the church in the wilderness, but I want to deal with this thought. The wilderness in the church, that assembly, that tabernacle, that place where God dwelled, that meeting place, as long as they went there and kept the wilderness outside, they were fine. But if they ever let the wilderness come inside, there was a problem. This world is like a wilderness. It's dry and barren. It cares not for the things of God. And we are, if you will, a church in the wilderness. And as long as the wilderness can stay outside, we'll be okay. for God can take care of us. But if the wilderness ever comes inside, we've got a problem. I want to try to preach on the wilderness in the church. Could have mentioned first, their Lord was involved. Stephen is preaching a message that God led him to preach, to talk about the Old Testament people that God was leading then. He is talking about how God was involved then and how God is involved now. I say first, God was involved because he saw. Did you read what Stephen said in verse 34? God said to Moses, I have seen. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. God said to Moses, you go tell them that their heartache and their trouble and their trials are not hidden from my sight. I see what they're going through. I know about the wilderness. I know about the dryness. I'm aware of the deadness. They have not been walking through anything without me. I have seen, could I mention this morning, whatever you're going through, there's a God who sees it. That heartache, that trouble, that trial you may be facing right now, and you wonder what in the world is going on, why in the world is this happening? I don't know for sure, but I know this. He knows, and he's aware of what you're going through. I say, your Lord is involved with your life just as much as he was with them. He's involved because he sees. Not only did he see, but he spoke. Did you read the verse? Did you hear me read it? God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. God said to Moses, I got something to tell you. I have some information I want to share with you. I have seen your affliction, and I know where you're at, and I just want to reaffirm your faith. I am in charge. He spoke to Moses and told Moses to speak to the people and tell those people what God had said. I tell you this morning, the God of heaven wants to speak to you in your wilderness experience. We need to hear from him. If there's ever a time we need to hear from God, it's when we're in the wilderness, going through the trial, when your heart is broken, when you're sick and infirm, when trials come, when people wrong you, when you're going through the wilderness, boy, like never before, you need to hear from God and get help from God and direction from God and strength from God. And that God is one who wants to speak to you this morning. I say, listen closely. Listen intently to the voice of God. Their Lord was involved. Yeah, they were in the wilderness. Sure, life was tough, but God has not deserted them. Not only had he not deserted them, he was working in the whole mess. And could I say it this way and be reverent? God's working in your mess. He not only saw, and he not only spoke, but listen, God was involved because he saved. In verse 36, Stephen reminded them, he brought them out. God brought Israel out of Egypt. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt. He performed miracles for his people in Egypt. And in the Red Sea, he performed a miracle getting them across the Red Sea. And in the wilderness, 40 years, God was involved in their situation. He saw, he spoke, he saved. Stephen said, remind yourself, they were in Egypt. They were in bondage, and so were you. Hey, it may be tough today, but I promise you, it ain't as tough as it used to be. If you're saved, you're no longer in Egypt. You're no longer bound by the devil. You're no longer under the control of the evil one. Oh, God saved. He brought them out, performing miracles in Egypt and getting them out. At the Red Sea, getting them across. And in the wilderness, since they had been there. For 40 years, God worked miracles in the wilderness for his people. And I want to tell you, the wilderness is dry, barren, dead, and hard. But there's the God walking with us. And daily, he performs miracles, helping us get through another day. I'm saying their Lord was involved. And in the midst of their wilderness, God placed a tabernacle. God instructed Moses to build a structure because there was a place those people had to look to. There was the God of the tabernacle. There was a place they could look at with their eyes. That structure, that tabernacle, that dwelling place, that place where God dwelt, that was their focal point. And God says in this wilderness experience, you're going to need a place like that. You're going to need a tabernacle. Listen, you're going to need a church. He called it the church in the wilderness because people in the wilderness need a church. They need somewhere they can go. They need somewhere they can go and find God. They need somewhere they can go and find God's people going through the same thing. And if they can get to the church, if they can get to the tabernacle, they can get help to go another mile, face another day, go through another burden. And God was involved with the construction of that tabernacle. I want to read something in Exodus. I don't know if I'll get done this morning. I hadn't been getting done lately, but I'll get done when I get done and stop when I stop, I reckon. You don't have to turn, but I want you to listen. Exodus, talking about the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 40, listen, verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the, tabernacle. The cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeyings. Says there that the glory cloud came and settled into the tabernacle. That's your kind of glory cloud. When you go out, look at the picture on the right side of the wall. That glory cloud, that Shekinah glory, that glowing cloud, that cloud that descended from heaven, that was God's presence, and it came straight down on top of the ark inside the tabernacle. The Bible says there was so much God in that tabernacle that Moses couldn't even move. Why? Because there's people all around that tabernacle that needed the help of God. And God was there to help them. But listen, it was found in the tabernacle. The Lord was involved. He was involved in the construction of the tabernacle. Exodus 25 verse 9, God said, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, the pattern of all the instruments therein, so even shall you make it. He told Moses, I want you to build the tabernacle. I want you to build the church that's going to be in the wilderness. And here's how you do it. And not only that, I'm going to tell you what to put inside, and I'm going to tell you how to make what you put inside. The structure, the building, the furniture, and everything, I am going to instruct you how to do it. As long as we got a church that's being led and directed and empowered by our God, we'll be all right. If He's leading this church, controlling this church, empowering this church, filling this church, we're going to be all right. No matter what the wilderness experience of our life is, this church is a place where God can help us. The Lord spoke, the Lord moved. He told them how to construct the tabernacle. He told them how to carry the tabernacle. It talks about in Numbers 1 that the Levites are to carry it. He says, when it comes time to move, everybody don't just run in and say, okay, I'm going to grab me a chair. All right, I'm going to get this bench. All right, I got the candlestick. Who wants to carry the candlestick this time? Any volunteers? Oh, no, 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 no. God said the Levites are the only ones that touch those holy things. He said, you construct it my way, you build it my way, and then you carry it my way. In other words, you operate it the way God said. And if you don't, the last part of that verse says, a stranger shall be put to death. God said, I am so holy about this place. It better be ran and operated and constructed and everything involved the way I say. I'm talking about the Lord's involved. Oh, we're in the wilderness, but in this wilderness, God has given us a church. But this church, for us to get the help we need from this church, must be ordained and organized and constructed and operated by the will and power and voice of God. And if it is, there's some help to be had. He has ordained. He said there's a church in the wilderness. There's a place to get help. I've ordained it so. I've directed it so. Could I mention first, the Lord was involved. Not only their Lord was involved, but their location was important. Numbers 1:52 said, and the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp. He said, it's not just important that you have this tabernacle, but it's important that you put it where I tell you to put it every time you camp. And he said, you put that tabernacle in the center of the camp. To that side of the camp, of the tabernacle, there's a tribe and a tribe and a tribe, if you will, set out like a square, pitching their tents. And on the west side and the east side and the north side and the south side, there's three tribes. And it's an important location. Have you got it yet? The tabernacle was in the center of the entire camp. They were facing the same direction. Every tent, always, when they set up their tents to camp, whether they were camping for one night or 2 weeks, they set their tents up facing the tabernacle. They were facing the right direction. They were facing the tabernacle. If you will, they were facing the church. They were facing that place where they could find God. They were surrounding the tabernacle. Listen, they were close, but they weren't too close. Josephus said 2,000 cubits, which means 3,000 yards, or 3,000 feet, excuse me. So God said, I'm putting the tabernacle in the middle of the camp, and I want you to be facing that tabernacle, and I want you close because you're going to need it. But I don't want you so close you become familiar with it. You stay at least 3,000 feet away. Close, but not too close. I tell you one thing, well, I love this church. But we should never get to where we take it for granted. Oh, it's just another building. What matters about how we dress when we come in here? It don't matter. It's just another building. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, this is God's house. This is God's property. Boy, when we come here, we ought to be going and realizing this is on holy ground. I feel like I ought to take my shoes off and worship my God just because I've stepped on the property. This is God's house. In the middle of my wilderness, God has given me a church. No, I can find God at church. I can get help at church. But if I ever take it lightly, if I ever get too familiar, I won't get what I need. Hey, there to be close, but not too close. They were facing the tabernacle. In other words, everything about their lives pointed toward God's house. That place, that church, that tabernacle, that place where God was. They were facing the right direction. Were facing. They were following. Numbers 9:17 says, when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. In the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. Simply means when that Shekinah glory cloud moved, they got the tabernacle together, packed it up, and followed God. And when that cloud stopped again and settled, they built the tabernacle around it again and camped like they did before and waited till the cloud moved again. So they not only were facing the house of God, they were following the house of God. Whichever way God goes, that's the way the church needs to go. Whatever he wants, 2018 or 1818. New and modern day, what difference does that make? We're not in the wilderness. We are, but we're not of the wilderness. We're the church. We're the God's house. We are the tabernacle. We don't follow the world. We're not back in Egypt. We're in the wilderness, but the wilderness is not in us. We're following God. So they were following. Every church needs to follow God. Word of God, will of God, way of God. Oh, I'll tell you one thing. If we ever find God and go with Him, we'll be all right. That's what we got to do as a church or as an individual. We're in the wilderness. And God has given us in the middle of the wilderness a church, a tabernacle to go to. And boy, how we need to realize how important that was, that is. They were facing. They were following. They were focused. Every time they walked out the tent door, they didn't see bright lights, hear the music of cities. Every time they walked out their tent door, the first thing they saw was that tabernacle, God's house, God's glory cloud, God's presence. And they were focused on that. That was their focal point because, listen, all this time they're wandering through the wilderness. All their time they're coming up to detours and dry holes and dead ends and difficulties and deadness all through the wilderness. Oh, if they're not careful, they're going to get their focus on all that wilderness stuff and all the worldly stuff. And they'll get to thinking about Egypt again. Some of them did. Oh, but those that wanted help and knew how to get it were focused on the tabernacle, focused on God, focused on how to get help from God. I see a little girl at night. Her daddy hears her whimpering late into the night. He goes to that little cot where she's sleeping, and he says, "Honey, what's wrong?" She says, "Daddy, I'm scared. It's so dark out here. I'm so scared. I feel all alone. I feel like the booger man's going to get me. Daddy, I'm just scared." And he says, "Honey, come here just a minute." And they go to that tent door, and he says, "Look at there, honey. Look at that. And down there in the tabernacle, I want you to look at that glory cloud." And at night, it was glowing like fire. And she goes, "Whoa, is that God? Oh, God's with us, ain't he, Daddy?" We ain't alone, are we, Daddy? Oh, we're going to be all right. Look at God. I'm not scared anymore. And he says, yeah, honey, we all right. As long as we keep our focus on God. As long as we keep looking toward the house of God where we can find God, we're going to be all right even through this wilderness experience. There's a man one day, he's tired, weary, it's hot and it's dry and it's dead. All he's seen seemed like forever is desert and dry holes and deadness. He's so tired, he's so weary, but he looks out his tent door and he sees that glory cloud. Oh, he's reminded God's still here. Oh, yeah, I'm in the wilderness. But in my wilderness, God has given me a tabernacle. In my wilderness, God has given me a church. In my wilderness, God has given me a place where I can find God. And all of a sudden, he has strength stirred again, and he's encouraged, and he's helped, and he goes saying, oh, thank the Lord for being good to me in the wilderness. They were focused. As long as we'll focus on God's house and God's help, we're going to be all right in a dark day. But when we lose focus and get our eyes on things and circumstances and people and hurt and harm and tears, we're going to be in trouble. I'm talking about God gave us a church in the wilderness, a place where we can get help. Their Lord was involved. Their location was important. They camped around the tabernacle. It was the center of their lives. Do you hear me? Can I say that and move on? It was the center of their lives. Is the church anywhere close to the center of your life? And then lastly, but it'll be a long lastly, their Lord was involved and their location was important. But I want to mention this. Their love was impaired. Numbers 1:54. This is talking about what Stephen's preaching about. He said, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. And boy, when they did that, everything was fine. They found help in the wilderness. But something happened and they stopped obeying. They stopped listening. You see, here's my point. As long as you have the church in the wilderness, you all right. But if you ever get the wilderness in the church, you got a problem. And that mixed multitude the Bible talks about was getting involved. And the mixed multitude wanted God's goodness, but they wanted the world's, Egypt's onions and garlic. And they're saying, why in the world did you bring us out of Egypt back then? Listen, if you listen, if you read it, it says they we ate freely. Excuse me. That's stupid. They weren't eating freely. They were slaves in Egypt. But now they've got their eyes off of God and on the wilderness to where it looks so bad they think, oh, I think we'd be better off to go back. Their love was impaired, the love they had for God and the tabernacle. Somehow it's diminishing. There's trouble on the way. Their love was impaired. Listen, they got distracted. They got their eyes off the tabernacle and on the wilderness. And they said, we want the leeks and the onions and the garlics and the melons. We want what we used to have. Whoa, we want the good times. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever get your eyes on the world, off of God's house and off of God's will and off of God's presence and the place where he's given us, get our eyes on the world, we're in trouble. They were distracted. They were to be focused on God's house and God and his will and his word and his way and his power and his help for them in the wilderness. But they got distracted and they got their eyes off of God's place and God's power. They not only were distracted, but they were disobedient. They had obeyed, but Stephen in this message in verse 35 says, this Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? Got to where they started saying, Moses, who do you think you are? Why'd you bring us out here? Who in the world, what were we thinking to listen to you? You're just a man. And you've made a mistake and you've led us the wrong direction. They started disobeying God. They stopped obeying God. I'm talking about their love was impaired. They became distracted. They became disobedient. They became dissatisfied. Stephen said it in verse 39. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. They became dissatisfied with what God was doing and longed for Egypt. Their love was impaired. And I'll say it again, as long as you got the church in the wilderness, everything's fine. If you ever get the wilderness in the church, there's a problem. That's what happened to them. They became dissatisfied. See what happens. Instead of them letting, if you could have just used the word Stephen says, instead of them letting the church change them, they tried to change the church. Instead of the church changing them into what they needed to be, and changed them into what they needed to become, they tried to change the church into what they were. Did you get that? All that stumbling through? And that's what's going on nowadays. People don't want a church that's going to change them. They want to go into a church, and the church changed to be like them. A little bit more relaxed, a little bit more liberal. Not so hard, not so stern, not so mean. They're wanting wilderness in the church when the church is there to help them get through the wilderness. Their love was impaired. They became distracted. They became disobedient. They became dissatisfied. Did you hear what it said? They were not satisfied in the leader. They said, who in the world, Moses, who do you think you are? They weren't satisfied with the law. They said, just too many rules. Oh, you Baptists, you old independent Baptists especially, y'all got too many rules. Y'all too strict. God, hey, don't you know God's updated himself? He's not near as mad at y'all as you think he is. Well, I don't read where I can find God changed. But I do read he loves us and he wants the best thing for us. And he's given us a place where we can get it. If we'll get it. They were dissatisfied with the law. They were dissatisfied with the leader. But they really were dissatisfied with the Lord. Because it was the Lord's law and the Lord's leader and the Lord's way. And he was trying to help them. Churches of today is trying to modernize. And what they are actually doing is bringing the wilderness into the church. I talked to a fellow yesterday. I'm about done. I really am. And he had left an old church. I'm just going to use that word to separate two churches. Old-fashioned, preach the gospel. I know the church, I know the pastor that used to be there before he died. They used to go to that church. He's been there almost all his life. He left the old church and he went to what I'm going to call the new church, which really is they preach the gospel, but they have a new way of looking at things. Can I be polite and just say that? They have a new way of looking at things. They're modernized. They've changed. They've become more hip. So he left the old church and he went to the new church, and he wasn't at the new church long. He realized he needed to go back to the old church. And here's what he told me. He said, when we went back to the old church, my father-in-law got saved. Well, I don't know about you, but that'd be enough for me to say, oh, the old church is where I need to be. But here's what that dummy told me. He should have just hushed. But he said, we left the old church again. And here's what he said, and went back to the new church, the same hipper church. We left the old church to go back to the new church because the new church had stuff for my little girl. And I thought about this. Wait a minute, let me analyze this. And here's what the man said. I knew my father-in-law would not get saved at the new church. Excuse me, he's just showing his dumbness over and over again. Here's what he's saying. I left the old church where God was and the men got saved, and I took my baby to a new church, and he said, I knew the new church, he named the name, was doing something for my little girl. So they're playing games this morning. And I thought about this. What about your little girl's soul? What about the old church where the man got saved? Does that new church have that? Many times, if we're not careful, we'll try and bring the church not through the wilderness, but the wilderness into the church. They were dissatisfied. Well, let me finish. They were dissatisfied. They were dissatisfied with the law and the leader and the Lord. God had given them a place where he dwelt. And he said, if you want me, here's where you'll find me. And if you'll find me here, you'll get some help of that wilderness. That wilderness won't be near as bad if you'll find me and get help. But here's where I am, and I ain't changing. And here's where you'll find me, and I'm not moving. And I believe with all my heart, God has established churches. I believe we're one of them where God said, there's a church in the wilderness that'll get you some help. But if you ever get the wilderness in the church, you're in trouble. All across the country, churches are declining. One thing that has caused the loss of attendance is because people want the bright and the brilliant, the exciting and the entertainers and my children going and being able to play a game and have a good time. And listen, I am not against helping young people. I am not. I'm probably more for it than you realize. Giving them something to enjoy when they come to church, I'm not against that. I'm for that. But I want to tell you something. They need to hear more than a game when they come to church. They need to meet God. And the God of heaven says, I want to help you. And I'll tell you where you find me. You'll find me in God's house. Now I want to ask you this, and I'm done. God wants the church in the center of our lives. A priority. But one of the major priorities in your life ought to be the church. Because that's where God's at. And the devil will fight it more than ever. Now I want to say to somebody that's lost this morning, God's brought you to a place. Somebody may have invited you. You may not even wanted to be here, to be honest. There's a whole lot of other things you'd rather be doing, but God brought you here this morning to offer you salvation and to let you know he loves you and he'll save you. If he's speaking to you and you call on him, he said, call upon me. He said, call on me, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, if I'm dealing with you and you call on me, he says, I promise you, I'll forgive you. I'll save you. And God brought you here this morning to offer that to you. I sure would hate it for you to leave without it, without salvation. But I want to say to us who are believers, God's house is more than just a building. It ought to be just more than a part of our life. It ought to be the focus of our lives, because we can find him here and get help here. And that's why the devil fights it so much. So I want to ask you, will you this morning at least consider coming and saying, Lord, help our church to be what it needs to be, or you can meet with us here and we can find you here and people can get help here and people can get saved here. And I want to be a part of that. Let's stand together.